Believe it or not, yesterday was the shortest day of the year, which also marks the first day of the year, or sorry, the first day of winter. Someone should go tell Alberta winter was only supposed to start yesterday. Now, with winter coming, there's a lot of good things as well as some harder parts about winter. I'd like you to turn to your neighbor and discuss just for a moment or two, maybe just share with them one of your favorite parts about winter, as well as what do you find most difficult and challenging about winter. All right, go ahead. I'll give you a minute. Turn to your neighbor and discuss that. All right. What are some of the best parts about winter, you guys?
No mosquitoes.
No mosquitoes. Yeah. Sledding. Okay. Sorry. Cross-country skiing. I'll leave that for you, but I'm glad you like it. What else? What are some other good things? Tammy.
Snow fights.
Snowball fights. Lots of great things. Will.
Snowmen.
Snowmen. All right, Peyton, you're going to be the last. Christmas. All right. We celebrate Christmas in winter. What are some of the challenging things? Bella.
Slippery roads.
It can be really slippery, especially on the roads. Ezra. Things freeze up. I'm interpreting. All right. What are some other challenging things?
Lack of sunlight.
I'm glad someone mentioned that. And it gets really cold. You know, there's a lot of good things. There's a lot of bad things. I can mostly live with the cold. I have to admit, the short days, the lack of sunlight really wears on me personally. For me, this was really bad when I worked in construction because I largely was involved with basement renovations, which meant that I would show up early in the morning and be downstairs in the basement before the sun came up. I'd work all day in a basement, and then I'd leave, and it would already be dark out. And so I felt like I was living in perpetual gloom and darkness. Gets pretty old pretty fast. And when we look at Isaiah chapter 8, 17 through 9, 7, we find that just as physical darkness is oppressive, spiritual darkness is even more so. But thankfully, God brings light, and this light is Jesus, and He is the reason that we can have joy. Now, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7 is a passage that people know very well. It's a very common Christmas passage and messianic prophecy. That's the one that says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." Sound familiar? And that is the good news. But to really understand the good news, you got to take a step back and go into chapter 8 and find out what the bad news is. See, without darkness, light doesn't quite make sense. And if you take a step back and you look at Isaiah chapter 8, starting at 17, you get the whole picture. The prophet Isaiah says, "I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. I will hope in him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are signs and portents in Israel from the Lord of hosts, who dwells on Mount Zion. And when they say to you, 'Inquire of mediums and necromancers who chirp and mutter,' should not a people inquire of their God? Should they inquire of the dead on behalf of the living? To the teaching and to the testimony, if they will not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn." Isaiah, as he prophesies, he recognizes that people are going to start turning away from God. That because the nation has been very inconsistent, shall we say, in following God, God has turned his face away. And when God gets silent, people start looking elsewhere for spiritual guidance. And we, in fact, see this even earlier. If you look at 1 Samuel 28, 4 through 7, we read this about King Saul. The Philistines assembled and came and encamped at Shunem. And the Israelites and Saul gathered all Israel. And they encamped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid. His heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, "Seek out for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servants said to him, "Behold, there's a medium at Endor." When God is silent, rather than waiting on him as the prophet Isaiah is going to do, frequently people turn away. People start looking to other sources for spiritual guidance. You know, and we see it even today as our country has moved away from its Christian heritage, its Christian roots. Rather than waiting on God and seeking him, we live in a country that is looking more and more to alternative sources, whether it be Eastern mysticism or even the occult. And the result is hardship. The result of that is incredible darkness and gloom. Verse 21, they will pass through the land greatly distressed and hungry. And when they are hungry, they will be enraged and will speak contemptuously against their king and their God and turn their faces upwards. And they will look to the earth, but behold, darkness, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness. Not a pretty picture, is it? Merry Christmas, right? As people forget God, as they turn away from him, as they look for alternatives, he repeals his blessings so that men might realize how great they need God. And yet for those who have already wandered away, who have hardened their hearts, rather than suffering and saying, "Oh, we need to turn to God," instead they become angry. Having gone around hopeless and hungry, now people look to those above them, to their authority and to God, and they become enraged and they shake their fists and they say, "It's all your fault." Does that sound familiar? If you look in the news, rarely do we say anything good about our government. Even though we just had an election, even though we just voted the government in, already people are grumbling against this and that of the government. And then when people look down, having expressed their indignation with their state and with those who they blame for it, as they look to their life and the world around them, all they see is darkness and despair. Have you guys ever been lost in a thick fog? Anyone? It's incredibly disconcerting. One night, my wife and I were driving back from Red Deer to Three Hills where we lived. And on the highway, you would normally drive about 110 kilometers an hour. But that night, there happened to be incredible fog. I've never seen fog like this before. It was so thick, you could not even see the side of the highway anymore. And from 110, we had to creep down to almost 30 kilometers an hour and put on the hazards so that no one smashed into us. It was dark and it was oppressive. That's what's going on here for the people of Israel. Things have gotten so bad. Thankfully, God doesn't leave it here. Instead, going into chapter 9, verse 1, "But there will be no more gloom for her who is in anguish. In the former time, he brought contempt on the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the later time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land of the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of darkness, on them a light has shone." Even when things get desperate and dark. Thankfully, God doesn't abandon his people. He still has a plan. And he brings light. Now, why is Zebulun and Naphtali highlighted? Well, if we look in 2 Kings 15:29 and 1 Chronicles 5:26, where I'm not going to put it up on the screen because Pastor Josh showed you guys that passage last week, but I'm just going to paraphrase. Zebulun and Naphtali, these were the first areas that faced exile because of their disobedience. It's these areas that Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came to and captured and exiled and took them away in chains. And later on, the rest of the 10 northern tribes of Israel were taken away. And eventually another country, Babylon, came in and captured Judah. But despite the darkness, despite this area being the one that God poured out his judgment first, the area where gloom first settled, this is also the area that God first brings light to. Even in Jesus' day, this was a dark region. You know, it's called Galilee of the Nations or Galilee of the Gentiles. And that term Galilee means circuit or circle. This was the northern edge of the country. This was the area that had Gentiles bordering all over them. This was a hard place to follow God. This was a spiritually dark area, even in Jesus' time. And it is here that Jesus begins his ministry. It is here that the light first comes. That's why Matthew 4:13-16 says, "And leaving Nazareth, he," that is Jesus, "went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." Thank goodness God doesn't leave his people in darkness, but instead has brought light. And this light produces results. We're told, after Isaiah has explained what is going to go on and foretold what God is going to do, Isaiah then kind of turns to God. And he says, "You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you with joy at harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff from his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in the battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for fire." The light of God does incredible work. The light of God brings an increase of the nation. It brings freedom and it brings peace. If you look at Romans 11:17-18, you find that everyone who has followed Jesus, even people who weren't Jews, actually, let's go ahead and start with that passage since it's on the screen. Sorry, it's somewhere lost in my notes. I'm going to continue with my notes and I'll trust you all to follow along. If you look at Romans 11:17-18, Paul talks about all those who have become believers in Jesus and followers of him have been grafted into the people of God. We are included in the blessing of his people, and this is an incredible blessing. This is why Jesus says in John 10:16, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I will bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so that there will be one flock, one shepherd." And as people who don't have any Jewish roots, we are so blessed to be incorporated into the people of God because of the light that has come, because of what Jesus has done. Furthermore, the light of God brings freedom. Isaiah talks about the rod of oppression being broken as on the day of Midian. Do you guys know what the day of Midian is? You didn't know you were going to get tested, did you guys? The day of Midian refers back to Judges chapter 6. The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years. The hand of Midian overpowered Israel, and because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves the dens that are in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. For whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. They would encamp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel, no sheep or ox or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents. They would come like locusts in number. Both they and their camels could not be counted. So they laid waste to the land as they came in. And Israel was brought low because of Midian. And the people of Israel cried out for help. And when they cried out, God raised up Gideon and directed him to fight the Midianites and free his people. But God intentionally whittled down Gideon's army to the point where it was impossible by worldly standards for Gideon to have success. And yet because God was with them, they were delivered. And that's what we see here. God breaks the rod of oppression. He breaks the chains of slavery, not because anything you or I can do, but because of his grace, because of his goodness. Because of Jesus, we are freed from a slavery to sin. Romans 8, 17 and 18 says, "But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves to righteousness." And again in Romans 8, 1 and 2, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." Because of Jesus, we have freedom. We have the opportunity to follow him and receive the life that he brings because we are no longer slaves to sin. So the light of God brings an increase of the nation. The light of God brings freedom from sin and a slavery to sin. And then we find that the light of God brings peace. Isaiah talks about how all the garments from warfare, everything soiled by blood, becomes burned as fuel in the fire. You don't need the warrior's boot anymore. God brings peace. That's why Colossians 1, 19 and 20 says, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on the earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." Romans 5, 6 through 8, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die, for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one might dare even to die. But God showed his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So because light has come into this dark world, we have an increase of the nation. We have freedom from sin, and we now can have peace with God. And what is that light? Well, I've already given it away, haven't I? It's Jesus. And that's why when we look at our passage, we're told, "For to us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government shall rest upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Jesus is the light. He is the one who brings about the increase of the nation, brings about freedom from sin, and he brings about peace. Verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Jesus is the one who brings the kingdom of heaven. Now what we see here as that is pictured has been fulfilled and is yet to be fulfilled. In Matthew, we were told that Jesus coming brought the light. And in a spiritual sense, we have been added to the nation of Israel. We have been freed from slavery. He's lifted that bond. And he has brought us peace. Yet we look forward also to his return when he will establish a physical kingdom. When he will reign forever and there will be no end to it. And that is yet to come. And that's not going to be accomplished by you, or it's not going to be accomplished by me. Instead, it's God who works it out. We're told the zeal of the Lord will accomplish it. It is his jealous love for his people that drives him to extravagant lengths to bring this to fruition. Just like a jealous husband of an unfaithful wife would go to incredible lengths to win his bride back to him, so God has gone to crazy lengths to redeem his people. That is why he sent his son. That is why Jesus took on flesh and became one of us, a human. And that is why he died in our place, because he has such radical love for us. So how should this change your life? What impact should this good news, this light that's come into the world, have in us? Well, to start with, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't understand what his gospel's about, then it's time to look for the light. It's time to open your eyes to what he has done. I challenge you, if you don't know what the message of the Bible is, please take time to search it out, to look into it, to discover what God has done for you because he loves you. If you don't have a Bible, you're welcome to take one of the pew Bibles. The light will do no good if we won't see it. You know, we already mentioned that one of the challenges of living here in Alberta is that during the winter, the days get incredibly short, right? The opposite happens in the summer, right? The days get longer and longer and brighter and brighter. My kids have a hard time sleeping when it's bright out. I get told, why do I have to go to bed? The sun's still up. Now, I don't think that I'm the only parent to ever have to deal with this. What have you guys done for your kids when they struggle to go to sleep on those bright, bright summer nights? How did you solve that problem? We got a lot of families here. Put them in the basement? Okay, hide them in the basement. Thanks, Paul. You don't have a basement. That'd be the crawl space. All right, what are other ways that you can solve that problem? Cover the windows. You put in blinds, you put in drapes. So that's what my family did last summer. We got room darkening blinds, and they're so effective that if I shut those blinds and I shut the door to their room, no matter how bright and sunny it is outside, it's pitch black in their room. And the same happens in our life. God brings his light, but if we have the curtains shut, if we do not want to see his goodness, you won't. And I implore you, take time. Open those blinds. Pull them back. Discover the light of God, which is Jesus. Now, if this is not a new message, if you already know Jesus, if you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, then point number two is for you, and that is rejoice. That's what Isaiah talks about the people doing when they receive the light. There is such incredible joy and gladness. Now, children, what's coming up in 3 days? You already told me. Christmas. What are you going to, what is going to happen Christmas morning? You open presents, and you guys are really, you're not looking forward to that at all, are you?
Yeah.
Are you just going to give them back to your parents and say thank you for the gift, but it's, I don't really need it?
No.
I heard a maybe, but mostly I heard no. How are you going to respond? All right, you're going to, I've coached some of the kids really well. They're going to respond with thankfulness. Adults, how do children respond when they open a present? Sorry? Okay. Is there any more? I saw someone doing this. What is this? This shaking of hands and jumping up and down and partying. It's glee. It's joy. It's happiness. Kids are so excited. They celebrate when they open presents on Christmas morning. And folks, that's what you and I need to be doing. We need to be celebrating what God has given us. We need to be celebrating the relationship we have with God through Jesus. This is incredible. All too often, as we grow up, we lose the ability to rejoice, to party, to celebrate. If you dig into the word, this idea of joy is this giddy glee where you just can't stop from dancing. When was the last time you danced because you were so excited because Jesus had saved you? That's the type of joy. That's the type of celebration. That's what we need, where we just can't stop grinning because Jesus has come. And then lastly, I challenge you to follow the example of Isaiah, a person who waited on God and stood for God even when things got dark. As I said, this passage has a spiritual fulfillment that has already happened, but it has a physical fulfillment that will happen down the road later. And if you look at the last book of the Bible, and you look at Revelation, you find things are going to get even darker at one point. It's going to get dangerous to follow him. And yet, even there, we need to be like Isaiah. When things get dark, when things are gloomy, don't look elsewhere for spiritual guidance. Cling to God. Stand for him. Wait on him. And trust that the zeal of the Lord will accomplish it. Jesus is the reason for joy. Light has come, and we are free. Let's pray. God, thank you that you